Wait for the PS4 version. They're going to retranslate it, and you won't get shit like Carito penetrating everything.
Carito.
Kitiko can penetrate me. Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Total Control Podcast, brought to you by OpRainfall.com for the week of May 28th, 2015. Here where we try and satisfy some of your niche gaming needs. I am one of your hosts. Some, if not all. Whoa, I almost messed that up.
Yeah, I was saying, come on, man.
Ooh, dropping the ball.
Only the first 30 seconds, man.
What? Get it together, Zario. Get it together.
So there's some, but what if you satisfy all of the needs?
That's true. If not some, then all. I'm one of your hosts, Zario Lopez, and with me today, as you heard, is Arthur Augustus.
I'm back. I'm the mistress who has returned.
Benny Carello. I butchered your last name.
Sure, let's go with that. Good to be back, everybody.
He's an official weeaboo today.
I
congratulations.
Thought I already was one, but okay. Awesome.
I was born one, damn it. And Steve Baltimore is here.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, boy party. Total Control is recorded every week and posted at brainfall.com and iTunes. If you enjoy the show, we ask you to please follow us on Twitter at the Total Control. Now to get things going, we've just received word that myself included, Benny and Arthur are all going to E3 this year.
E3.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yo.
We got a pretty big team.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Enough for a car and some equipment to fill up the fourth seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Put some cameras and some mics right there.
Which, by the way, we're taking a car. I know there was some talk about taking some public transportation. Ending that immediately.
Nobody takes public transportation in LA.
I live in LA, and I've been to E3 before, and we are not taking the train. Come on.
Yeah. No.
We got limo. We're going to arrive in our limo. Nice. The Op Rainfall limo.
Parking, am I right? You know, one year, I went in 2010, and that was when Homefront was being, like, hyped, whatever.
Your favorite game.
Oh, yeah, my favorite game of all time. It almost was, because that year they were having this, like, they did these crazy things, like, at all times. They were always, like, promoting the game. So what they did that year for Homefront was they took over a parking lot, and you could park in the parking lot, but you had to put, like, a North Korean flag on your car. And at the parking guy, you had to, like, hail allegiance to North Korea, but then you got to park for free. So I parked there all 3 days because I didn't want to pay $25 for parking. So that was cool.
So you just had to give your allegiance to communist country?
Dude, yeah. Well, it was like fake North Korea.
Was it fake?
Yeah. After the flag wave. Actual North Korea was there. Anyway, another Homefront game is being hyped this year, so I hope they do the same promotion because parking's expensive. So
Yeah, it is.
That's the dream, at least.
Yeah, and there's nowhere really, like, around the LA Convention Center to, like, even get cheap parking.
No, there's, like, a bunch of, like, hawkers, whatever they're called. I mean, they're people who do nothing but own parking lots, and what they do is they look up the street at the other people who own parking lots, and they're like, how much are they charging for parking? Oh, $20? I guess we're going up to $30 then. And then the people who are charging 20 see that they went up to 30. And then it's like, well, I guess we're going to 30 then. And then it just keeps going up until people just, like, stop parking altogether because they're up at $40.
Yeah.
Oh, let's bring it back down to 20.
Yeah, well, they never go down. What they do is they just stop until the event's over.
Nice.
And then, yeah, the day's over. So there's technically parking at the convention, which is, like, set at $8 or something, but that fills up immediately, so.
You got to get there hella early to go nowhere to get that parking.
Hella early, so.
Yeah, so this will be Benny and I's first E3.
Yep.
Arthur's going to be holding our hands. We practice the partner system at Op Rainfall. So none of us will get lost.
Bring a butt.
Setting up some good interviews and stuff right now for you guys. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like
be excited.
Are you guys going to try to cast from there at night after the?
Yeah, we're going to do a little live cast. Get Benny a little drunk.
It's not that hard to do.
Azari and I are going to be stone cold sober, feeding him through.
I just want Betty to speak Japanese to me
whole time.
Wow,
sock bombs.
That sounds like a setup for a yaoi novel. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah, I can imagine. It's fun to do the in-person podcast. And then I think the only thing that we're all going to have time to do on a daily basis is a podcast and get up like immediately, just do a recap of the events of everything that we did.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
So hopefully that we'll be able to get that done. Up to Azario, I guess. He's the podcast man, right?
Yeah. He's the man in charge there.
I'll do it. Fuck it. I'll do it.
Boom.
Boom. Done.
I have a mic. I'll bring it over.
But yeah.
Expect some podcasts, dear viewers. For listeners.
You've been YouTubing too much, Benny. Saying that viewers, get that viewers out of here.
Force a habit.
But yeah, so speaking of viewers, Benny, you've been playing Neptunia Victory 2 for the PlayStation 4.
Yes. We've been.
That's on our YouTube channel.
Yes. We're currently running a Let's Play of both Shin Jigen Gamu Neptunia Victory 2, which will be Hyperdimension Neptunia Victory 2 here, most likely. And we're also running a Let's Play of Persona 4 Golden for the. I'm playing it on the Vita TV, but both of those are going up Monday through Friday. So take a look at them. Persona 4 Golden is a blind run for me because I've never played the original games nor any of the Persona games, really. So
your it's first Persona ever?
Unless you're really counting the little dabbling I did with the PSP remake of the first, which, from what I understand, is a completely different style than the current Persona games.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like Persona 1 you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it is, by the way. So
this popped his modern Persona cherry.
Yeah, I know. It's a very scary world, but I'm learning to embrace it one step at a time.
Well, most people start with Persona 4 anyway, like most of the modern fans, so.
And then they realize that Persona 3 is better.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I ended up going as well.
It's darker. It's
Dude, it's so edgy and so real, you know? It's like about death, you know?
Yeah. And Yukari's just great. So, you know.
I don't know if Yukari is the character I would go to find out the game
is better. That's it. You gotta have Yukari, man. You have to.
I think I would go towards the dog before I go to Yukari.
Oh.
That dog is pretty fucking dope, but like Mitsuru or like, I don't know, the fucking kid is pretty dope.
Oh, God, Ken? Ken, man? Oh, he gets on my nerves.
Okay, well, whatever.
He's level 1 for life.
Take him out of the party immediately and go with everybody else. Anyway.
Yeah, he's got to stay.
Benny doesn't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm lost. But what I will say, though, is that if depending on how this goes, we will start opening up polls eventually to viewers to choose what game we play next. So maybe Persona 3 might be one of those games once we finish either Neptunia or Golden, whatever one comes first.
How far into Golden are you so far?
I've currently recorded through episode 9, so we just got Chie's Persona.
Okay, so nowhere then.
Yeah, that's a long way to go.
So you just started the game.
There is a lot of plot, but it's been really enjoyable. I've had a lot of fun commentating that one.
Yeah.
I was listening to it. I enjoyed watching it.
The Persona girls don't have that much plot.
Shut up, Steve.
Oh.
Speaking of plot, talk about Victory 2 and your experience with that, because that game's not out here yet. So it's good to kind of get the feel of like how a Neptunia game handles on the PS4. So what have you noticed differently?
I think the best way to explain this, and for those of us who played the original Neptunia, you might be able to relate, but remember how we went from Neptunia 1 to Mark 2 and went everything old is new again and awesome?
Yeah.
That was basically this, from Victory to Victory 2. Everything you knew, they're similar, Like, the battle system does have some similarities, but now all your combos are guided by what weapon you equip, for example. So if I have a particular weapon, I can maybe only do 5 rushes, but I only can do 1 power and 1 standard attack. In addition, you also now have an ability to do formation skills. So, for example, currently I have Uzume, Neptune, and Nepgear. And if I could arrange them in a triangle around the enemy and I have an EXE gauge, I could do a formation attack that hits everything in that grid.
Resonance of Fate did that.
Jesus Christ, that game sucks.
Shut up, Steve. That game's awesome.
Don't relate to
that. That's the best Sega game I have ever played. Hands down.
My God.
Steampunk for the win.
Actually, it reminds me quite a lot of Sakura Wars So Long, My Love, and how they handled the combination attacks in that game. So if you play that, especially with the fact that it's basically just a quick cutscene cut in and then explosion, you're probably familiar with how this, at least how the system looks. Usefulness, you really want to get used to it quickly because there are tons of enemies in this game. You'll get into battles with 5, 6, 7 guys against your 3, and you'll start going, what do I do? Other than just level grind the hell out of the game, which I've had to do a couple of times. Plotline-wise, I don't really know a lot because my Japanese is not that good, so I've had to kind of make up things as I go with the things I do understand. Like, I opened the entire thing by saying Nep woke up in a park and was basically looking for pudding and found a Dreamcast instead. She finds a Dreamcast, and that takes her to this other world. But I do like all the characters. Uzume herself is pretty much Domon Kashu as a basically goddess, and is completely awesome. The megaphone weapon they gave her makes a ton of sense now because she literally just hot-bloodedly screams at enemies to kill them. So I will say this.
Yeah, I saw that.
So far, I'm loving it. I think next week we hit our first major new mechanic, which there's a special new type of fight that happens, which we might have seen in some of the previews, which is against giant enemies. I won't spoil what happens, but that episode actually in particular, there was a moment there where I just kind of got stunned into silence as I took in everything in mid-sentence. I just stopped and went, okay, now what?
But, so you're noticing better things with like the maps and everything that you're running around? Graphically, do you notice anything different?
Graphically, everything is a lot smoother. It looks beautiful on the PS4. It's probably the best-looking Idea Factory game I've played, but I haven't played Omega Quintet, so I really can't compare that to that. I will say the map system got an overhaul. There is something that's very unique. Has anyone played Record of Argorous War by chance?
I have.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, remember how you would move from one city to the other across little dots, and you might get stopped in a fight along the way?
Yeah.
They took that system and used that in this game. So now you have random encounters on the map, and it gets worse. But as I say, it's kind of, it balances itself out in the game because you feel frantic, but it works. You don't heal after a level up now. You have to go back to the city to heal. So you really have to manage your health, but they've done everything so far, it feels balanced.
But they did make it where you could use your skills to heal from the camp menu this time.
Yes. Yeah,
so that balanced that out.
Yeah, nothing feels unfair, honestly, in this game. Everything feels very balanced. I almost want to put it up there near the level of a Tales of game. If we don't get any repeating areas, I think Idea Factory then has basically hit that stride, and we can really, I think, put those games up there, but I think from a critical point of view, we can actually maybe hold them up to, you know, the old school Final Fantasies, maybe even the new schools, depending on if you like them or not. But as well, the Tales of games are the ones I would compare it to. It really has that feel to it to me, so I'm really impressed so far. I just hope I stay that way.
Yeah, I tend to go towards Neptunia's story more when I want a JRPG, but something silly. And I tend to like want to play the Tales of games when I want some serious story. So I don't know if. I don't know if I could put Neptunia on par with my Final Fantasies.
Well, like I said, think of it from a battle mechanic standpoint and just the game, how the polish on the game itself.
That's
true. And Neptunia, the one thing I will say those games have lacked at times has been just a really fine sheen of polish. They've been good structurally, but I've always wanted to see them polish it up just a little bit more, and they've really done that, it feels, so far this time. But of course, I'm only about roughly 7 hours in. So there's still a lot of game to go.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, moving on. Steve?
Still playing Mori Rogue Chronicles. Chugging through it. I'm getting pretty close to the end of it, I think. I think I got either one stage or two stages more to go.
I think there's two stages. I saw your trophy,
yeah,
bro.
I think it's one or two. I'm grinding away somewhat. I'm trying to get all the monster girls. If I wasn't sitting grinding trying to get all the girls, I could probably get a lot further than I am.
Especially because if you... Well, explain the game. Let's talk about the game, because maybe...
Well, that didn't make it last time, did it?
Yeah, it didn't make the cut.
We had some audio
messed up last time.
Basically, Mori Rogue Chronicles is a first-person dungeon crawler. It's an actual spiritual sequel to Monster Mon Piece, so yes, the rubbing mechanic is back and better than ever. Basically, when you're crawling the dungeons, you'll run into different kinds of enemies. The normal enemies are called H enemies, and just think of every kind of fetish you've ever seen in an anime and put it into an enemy. You'll see enemies with striped panties on their heads, bananas, little furry things.
Little furry things, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So I just
little
go
paddles.
Little paddles. Just and it's fantastic. And you can actually recruit those to like equip to your girls, and they'll give them some little stat boost or a extra attack or something. And basically, as you crawl the dungeon, you'll run into other monster girls, and all the monster girls in this world have been basically brainwashed into hating humans. So you have to bring them all back to their senses. And what better way to do this than to strip off all their clothes and rub them down? I mean, it's an ideal factory game, so this makes perfect sense. And when you're fighting them, you get to attack each article of their clothing, and as you bust them off, then you'll go to the rubbing screen, which is very similar to the Mon Piece, but there's a few different types of rubs now. You got like a poke and a rub and a pinch.
Pinch.
And a pinch that you can do. And the girls will respond to them in different ways. And once you get the girls in your party, you can find different panties to equip them with. And we can think of panties like a perverted dress spear from Final Fantasy X2. Is what we can think of it like. It basically gives the girls a different set of abilities with each different pair you equip on the girls. And I'm really enjoying it. The story's crazy. It's over the top. I think it's a little better than Mon Piece to me because you never really got to interact with the girls in Mon Piece.
You never get to know them.
Yeah, but in here you interact
with them.
Yeah, right. You get to interact wine and dine them. You got to do that.
Yeah.
And here you interact with the girls, and they'll have little scenes with each. You'll have little scenes with each girl, and also the girls themselves will have scenes with each other as you recruit different monster girls, which is it's kind of funny to watch them all interact together. And I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, things I like about this game is they give you reasons to go back to dungeons to see the story. Some hidden stories will pop up, and they'll let you know what floor it's on. But there's no like fast travel to dungeon floors. You kind of have to go through. But you're going to want to go through these because the items respawn every time you go into the dungeon, and you need to find all those panties.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to.
And you got to find all the paintings. I mean, if you don't.
But the fighting is fun. It's fast. There's an auto attack part to get through them.
You can speed the battle.
Sometimes there's too many battles. Sometimes I'll take one step and I'm just in another fight and I'm just like, come on.
But you can get an item that'll reduce the encounter rate by 50%.
Yeah, I saw that. But I mean, come on. One step and then another battle.
Did you accidentally equip the charm necklace? Because if you didn't look at that close, that doubles the encounter rate.
Oh, well, I'll have to.
I did the same thing you did. I was walking around, like, my God, this rate's ridiculous. And I went and looked, and I had that equipped, and I was like, ow, okay.
Later dungeons get huge once you get to the other dungeons. Lots to explore. But it's an okay game. It's not bad. There's a lot to do. There's no shortcomings there. You can rebuild every girl's room. You can give them presents. Make them fall in love with you.
And then I played something way out of my element last night. I actually went ahead, and since it was on sale, I bought Saints Row Reelected.
Damn.
PS4.
That's my jam.
So I played something completely out of my element. And you know what? I had a blast with it.
Which one is that? Elected?
Reelected. I think it's Saints Row 4 with like one extra pack in it.
Okay.
That's the one where you go to hell. That's not the one. That's the new one.
Expansion pack to the fourth one. Do you have superpowers?
Yes.
Okay, that's the fourth one then.
I have superpowers. Yeah, that's Got Out of Hell. That's an actual expansion pack. If I got the Reelected's one expansion pack, I think, or something like that, and then you get Got Out of Hell's the other expansion pack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the way it is. I don't have Got Out of Hell, but yeah, I played it last night, and it's just so crazy. You know, I played GTA 5, and I really didn't have fun with it because I just felt like it was just so restrictive, really, because they tried to make it real. I guess that's why I like Saints Row better, because it's batshit crazy.
Yeah, there's a schism that occurred in GTA San Andreas where, like, the series of GTA San Andreas went to be, like, more fun, and then GTA 4 went to be, like, more, like, gritty and realistic.
Yeah.
So, like, Saints Row series was, like, if the GTA franchise went to be, like, more silly, and then, like, actual GTA went on to be, like, more, like, serious and restrictive. Yeah. So, like... Now you see, like, where it would have gone if they kept being more silly, and the answer is superpowers and fucking
yeah. shit. You know? I mean, I made a guy that's like a blue shiny guy with a mohawk and an American flag on his face running around.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the most awesome guy ever. I mean, I cracked up because when the game first starts, he's like crawling up a nuclear bomb, trying to disarm it, and they're playing like "Don't Want to Close My Eyes" by Aerosmith, and you're thinking of Armageddon, and I'm just dying laughing because it's funny as shit.
Right, and the whole game is filled with like moments like that, and it's just kind of like at any moment you can kind of just sit back and be like, "Dude, what fucking game am I even playing right now?"
Right, it's crazy. Like there's no need to have a car at all because he runs faster than the cars.
Right.
You can run and jump. You can actually run and jump across the whole map in like 2 seconds. He's like flying 300 feet on one jump.
Yeah. And like some of the weapons is like one of the weapons is a dubstep gun, which actually shoots like out like explosions at the beats that actually drop. And then even the enemies that you don't hit, the ones that like in the periphery are like dancing along to the track. Yeah. You know, like. And, like, if you change the skin of the dubstep gun, actually, like, different tracks are played. It's just, it's silly. And, you know, like, there's no difficulty to the game at all. Like, I don't know. I don't think you come close to dying in the entire thing, but it's just sort of, like, fun in its most refined form. So, I can't recommend that game enough.
Well, when I went on Twitter, they had it and Watch Dogs on sale, and I said, I want something completely silly that's fucking mindless to play that I'm just going to laugh at. And everybody was like, buy Saints Row. That's what you want.
That's the one.
I bought it, and it was exactly what I wanted. That is exactly what I wanted right there.
Yeah. I love the trajectory of that series, because the first game was ridiculous, because at first it was like you were in a gang, and it was ridiculous because you were like a street gang, but by the end of the first game, it was so quote-unquote ridiculous, because by the end of it, you were doing like hits for like the mayor of the city, and you're like, aren't I in a street gang? Like, this is ridiculous. And then by the end of the third game, it was ridiculous because the rival of the street gang was escaping you by taking off on a shuttle. And then the end of the game, you were chasing him onto Mars and like shooting. And it's just like the fact that we got from point A to point B and everything in between. Like, I don't know how they did that, but at some point you just sort of stopped questioning it. So,
and the sad thing is it totally works.
Yeah.
It just does. It works.
Yeah. At no point was someone like, they jumped a little too quickly here. You know, like it was steady enough that it was fine.
I mean, you're running around picking up alien weapons, zapping aliens, stealing alien cars, and it's wild.
You think a new one's going to come or be announced?
The end of the fourth game, I'm not going to spoil it for Steve. They kind of allow them to either make Saints Row games until the end of time, because they allow. A sort of narrative explanation for them to do that, or for them to never make a Saints Row game ever again.
Okay.
So I'm not
two options.
I'm not sure what they're doing, but...
My guess is it sold pretty well, so you'll probably see another one.
But at the same time, I've heard from the developers that they're kind of, like, done with it, because, where do you go from here? But, like, people have been saying that for, like, the past three games. But, I mean, at the same time, like... How far are you into the game?
I just started, starting.
All right.
I think I'm on like mission 3 or 4, maybe. Like I just got started.
Okay. Do you know what's up with Earth these days?
Uh-uh.
in the game. Okay. Well, I don't want to spoil any story beats, but it's just like, you know, like for a while people were saying like, where do you go from here? But like at a certain point, it's just kind of like, there is nowhere to go, you know, like, and they found the point of no return in a way. So it's really, really, really difficult for the right now where they are with that series for them to figure out where to go next. You know, like they had to go to hell for the expansion pack. And even then that wasn't really like enough. Like a lot of people were disappointed with the expansion pack because it was kind of underwhelming. And I think that kind of spoke to like where the series is at. So I don't know if they're going to make another one. If they were to make another one, I think it would have to be a complete reboot and then like kind of have to ground it in realistic and kind of reset the crazy. But I don't know if the developer wants to do that. Volition, I think Volition is the developer. I think they just make good games. They made Red Faction as well. I think people forget about that. Red Faction Guerrilla and Armageddon.
Red Faction was tight.
Yeah.
It was good. They're very overlooked.
Yeah, they make good games. They make good mechanics. They're a tight developer. They've just been stuck on making Saints Row for so long. I'd like to see them make something else. So, you know, whatever. Whatever they want to do, I'd be excited to see it. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll hear something from them soon. But I really don't know, I guess.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Steve. Arthur, what have you been up to?
I've been playing like jack shit, so I've been replaying some old stuff. For some reason, I started replaying Alan Wake. Did anybody ever play that?
I wanted to,
okay. But I didn't. I don't. What is it on? It's on Xbox 360, right?
It's on 360. I assume it's on PS3. Or actually, it might have been an exclusivity deal.
I believe it was exclusive. I think it may have came to PC at one point, but that's about it.
I think it is on PC.
So it's not on PS3. So it's 360 and PC only.
Yeah, that's why I never played it.
Okay. So I replayed it because there was news from Remedy. They're making a game right now called Quantum Break, and
yeah,
they said that it's not going to come out until 2016. Which was like a reminder of like, hey, by the way, Quantum Break exists, and by the way, it's not coming out until forever. So
yeah, did you by chance watch the Alan Wake like prototype for the second one? I think Polygon wrote an article, had an exclusive on it. Maybe it was Polygon. But they basically have the prototype footage of what Alan Wake 2 would be. And it's really interesting. And they're never going to make it. They used some of the mechanics in that prototype, though, that are in Quantum Break.
Okay. Well, maybe Quantum Break will be a good game, then. Because a lot of the thing with Alan Wake is that it's sort of like widely rumored that it was a game. All of Remedy's games are sort of known to be in like development hell in a way. Like they take forever to come out. Like Mad Max was known, not Mad Max, what am I talking about? Max Payne was known to be in development for like a very long time and then eventually came out. And then they were sort of talking about how there was a bunch of things they wanted to do that they didn't get a chance to do. And Alan Wake was another one of those games. Like they started working on Alan Wake after Max Payne 2, which came out in 2003, and Alan Wake came out in 2010. So there's like a 7-year gap there, right?
Yeah.
And Alan Wake came out in 2010, and Quantum Break is going to come out in 2016 if it hits its release date. So that's another 6 years. So they take a long time. But like Alan Wake was rumored to be an open world game at one point, and when it came out, it was not. But there's some stuff there that makes you think it could have been, like how it's sort of set in a small town and how there's some like adventure elements to it. And like that you go back to a lot of locations over and over again.
It's Silent Hill.
Yeah.
It's Silent Hill.
Yeah. So there's some stuff there that makes you think that there's a lot of missed potential. So I want to replay it again. Cause I was reminded about what Remedy is. And, I just wanted to see how it holds up cause it's been 5 years since it came out. Actually, this just last week, actually, it was the 5-year anniversary of when it came out. It does not hold up very well because the thing about Alan Wake that I remember when it came out was one of the complaints I had is that you get really sick of the combat by the time you get to the end of that game because there's really nothing to it. You just sort of the main mechanic, I guess, is all the enemies are they're like there are these darkness enemies. So you have to like shine a light on them So that sort of gets the darkness off of them, and then you just sort of shoot them. And they're just melee enemies, you know, so they just sort of walk up to you. So you sort of have to dodge their melee attacks if they get really close to you, but otherwise you just shoot them. Like, there's no, like, you know, aiming or anything. You just sort of, like, aim the light, wait a bunch of time, and then shoot, right? So it's just more of a waiting it out type of thing. And when you do that for 12 hours, because the game is a longer than most games, I would say, you just kind of get sick of that. And you would think after 5 years, you would think that you kind of forgot about that, and maybe it feels fresh again when you come back. Not the case. I played it for about 2 hours, and I was already, like, pretty immediately sick of it. So there was that. And then all the adventure stuff about, like, reading. You pick up these manuscripts, because the other thing is Alan Wake's character is a writer. And part of the story is that the things he writes are coming to life in the world he's in. So a lot of that stuff isn't really as interesting as it was when it first came out, because I already know what happens in the story. And so, like, all the questions of, like, oh, does this actually mean something? Is this going to lead to something? I already know the answer is no. So reading all that stuff, I know it doesn't go anywhere. So there's just no mystery to it anymore. And I'm just remembering all the things that were disappointing about the game at the time. And at the time, I remember there were some things that took away from it that were kind of interesting. And I thought maybe they'll build on this in the future. But coming back to it 5 years later, all the criticisms stick a lot more than the nice things I took away from it. So if anyone was thinking of replaying Alan Wake, don't. I just saved you the hour and 20 minutes that I lost. So...
Yeah, the thing about Quantum Break too, it's super ambitious with, like, it's having a TV show play with its with what you're doing in the game. So they're actually recording a television show but it's not a television show. It's in the game television show. Like, you'll watch an episode and then you'll play again.
I don't know how that's gonna work, because modern gamers are very impatient with stuff. Unless the TV show's like 3 minutes, they're going to be like bored to shit.
No, they're saying it was a TV show.
Yeah, I don't know if that actually means anything. I think that just means it's going to be a Remedy-ass Remedy game. Because all Max Payne and Alan Wake were like TV shows, and I'm doing air quotes there. Because, like, in between all the games, like, Alan Wake had like little cutscenes, and then, you know, it was kind of like Twin Peaks in a way with a bit of Stephen King. And then Max Payne was all about the comic novel stuff between episodes. And I think that the Quantum Break is just, you know, the words they're using this time are television show, because that's what's hot these days. But I think it's just going to be the same thing that we're used to. I don't think it's going to be anything special, really. Maybe there's more production value, but I don't think it's going to be anything too crazy.
It looks okay. Maybe we'll see something at E3.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we will. But
other than that, I just started playing Aether, which is that new game on...
Oh, yeah, on PS4.
PS Plus is free this month. I've played literally 10 minutes of it, though. It looks like an adventure game.
It looks interesting. I downloaded it. I haven't checked it out yet, though.
Yeah, you kind of, like, look around and pick stuff up and read things in the environment. I got kind of like a BioShock feel from it, but with no combat. And there's like this narrator speaking to you, and you're sort of waking up, and there's like a lot to do with memory or something, and you're getting like led down this path on where you have to go.
The typical indie game thing.
Yeah, that's.
I'm gonna check it out still. I haven't been.
Right. You know, so like part of me is like fucking indie games. So you know, like I'm really. For some reason, the way that Steve said that just made me really resonate with that, where I'm just something about indie games these days. I'm just like so fed up with them. But on the other hand, like I really liked how the game looks.
It's almost like every once in a while you get a gold out of it, something that's really good. And now there's a lot of cookie cutter stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you see a game like, have you guys seen Everyone's Gone to the Rapture?
No.
Okay. Well, just that name. It could be something epic, like you play as a character where you walk around a town and everyone's gone, right? And there something happened. You can even make it a cool like action or a thriller, to say the least, or a horror, any type of thing to make you feel alone, you know, and and it'll play out pretty well. But they showed gameplay of it, and all you do is walk around a town and go to, like, phones and stuff, and they'll play you what happened. And if that's all there is to this game, I'm gonna be so upset.
Yeah, like, how many of those are there? You know, like, they're I'm still trying to grind through Life is Strange, which I talked about a few episodes ago, and I'm, like, two episodes behind now. And it's just like, how many games are there where it's like, you walk around and discover this awesome world that I wrote in my bedroom, you know? And it's just like...
Is there a dick on a wall in Life is Strange? What is that all about?
A dick in a wall?
Somebody... I don't know if it's part of the they keep tweeting about it, that it's been there for two episodes, but you go to a wall and someone drew a dick on the wall.
All right, well, now I gotta play it. Well, I'm two episodes behind, so I may have missed it.
Oh, yeah. But... And it's still there in the new one, I guess. And everyone's like, it's still there.
I mean, I'm not saying all indie games are bad. I played some really good indie games. Like, one that sticks out off the top of my head is Lone Survivor. That was an interesting idea for an indie game. It's basically what Silent Hill would have been if it was a 16-bit side-scrolling game.
Sure. I love indie games too, but I'm just saying, like, the number of games that start off, it's just like, yeah, it's really slow at the beginning, but once it gets going, it's like, no, like, I've had too many of that. Like, I don't have the time to fucking sit here for 2 hours and, you know, wait for something to get going. I just want to start something and have something going. It's just where I am at my life these days, and maybe it's something wrong with me, but it's why, like, over and over again, I'm telling myself, like, I should really play, like, The Witcher 2, or, like, I should play, like, an actual video game, but I just keep replaying things that I actually know, or I keep loading up Dota 2 or something, because I know, like, I can hit press play and, like, find match, and I know I'm going to play a game in, like, 10 minutes, rather than, like, am I going to waste my time for, like, 60 minutes and then find out that this thing that I loaded up is something that I don't even want to play anyway, which is what I keep finding myself doing for, like, the past, like, 2 months or whatever. So,
yeah,
that's what I was thinking when I was playing Aether. But I also really like the art style, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll be sure to check it out, too, because I have it on my PS4.
Yeah.
And next month on Plus, we're getting Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes.
Oh, man.
So you can actually...
2 hours of gameplay right there.
You can get that $30 demo for free now.
Thanks, Kojima.
Kojima-san.
It's actually not a bad game. It's not worth the $30 that they charge for it because of the lack of content, but it's actually kind of fun.
I guess I can talk.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing Final Fantasy X on the PS4.
Oh, the best game ever, you mean?
Yay!
It's pretty great. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
It's one of my favorite games ever, you know that, right?
How many times have you played this game, Azorio?
I've only played it once.
I've played it 7 times.
Okay. Let me rephrase that question. On how many different platforms have you played this game?
Three.
You've played on three platforms?
I played on PS2, PS3, and PS4.
Didn't play the Vita version? You should have went for the
platform. I don't have the Vita version. I wanted it. It's only $20. I feel like I can get it whenever I want. So it's not like something.
Why'd you get the PS4 version if you had the PS3 version?
Because it had the original soundtrack.
Because they couldn't fit that on the Blu-rays on the PS3 version.
And it came with a calendar if you pre-ordered it.
You didn't like the remastered soundtrack?
I didn't care either way. I just wanted the original. I think the remastered one was pretty good. I don't know why everyone gave it so much...
It seemed all right when I played it, honestly.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I'm having a lot of fun with this game, and I think in the story I have Riku now, and we're doing some stuff. Yeah,
Riku is not the best girl.
She's the best.
Girl. Yeah, party.
That means you're going for Lulu. That means you're going for the boobs.
I don't know if that's the assumption you should make if you don't.
Oh.
Come on.
I'm one to switch out every character in battle beast they're better at. So if I know that Titus will kill this guy with one hit, I'll do that.
What I like about the remasters is the advanced spear grid.
You have that. And you have the Aeons, the dark Aeons that you can fight that weren't in the original.
It's got a little extra scene at the end of it too.
Yep. So I'm excited to play through that and actually I'm excited too to play through X2. Really want.
Are you?
Yeah, because I remember when it came out, I actually beat it 100%.
I did too.
What?
I did it too.
You over 100 lunatics.
Got that secret ending.
Over 100 hours.
Let me tell you a little story. I played Final Fantasy X over 3 years. Like, I played for the first time when I was like 12 or something. And then I thought it was so cool, but it took me like multiple months to figure out what it was. Cause you know, I was a kid and I didn't know much about video games or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like when I finally beat it after like this multi-year long adventure, I was like so depressed because of this like world that I had kept going back to for like multiple years was gone.
Binge eating and like
yeah, it was gone.
Chocolate bars all over your room.
You know, like these characters that had kept like developing and being a part of my life were gone forever. I was like, oh my god, it's over. Like, what the fuck can I do? So I bought the soundtrack, kept listening to it. And I'm like, that hasn't helped my depression. And then I found out, I was like, they made a sequel. They made Final Fantasy X 2. This will help. So I bought the sequel, and I read on the internet, it's like, yo, the sequel fucking blows. And I was like, doesn't matter. It's more Final Fantasy X. I'll love it. So I bought the sequel. I played for like 30 minutes, and I was like, fuck this shit. Never played it again.
I didn't think X-2 was that bad. I really didn't. I mean, it's not as good.
Pretty bad.
I really didn't. I don't think it's by no means as good as 10. I don't. But X-2 is probably better than, well, anything they...
It's a fan service game.
It's better than anything they put out, you know, since then.
I want to play through it just to get a new perspective on it, because I haven't played it since I was 13.
It's far better than Final Fantasy 13. I mean, I'd take it over that.
No, that's debatable.
What? That's not debatable.
How is that debatable?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 13 is a great adventure, guys.
Well, okay, wait. Time out here. I've actually played a little bit of 10-2, and about 3 hours, I never touched 10. I enjoyed the combat in at least 10-2. 13 with everything, no. I'm sorry.
That's because, Benny, you did not understand the combat.
Oh,
you were to understand how to play Final Fantasy 13, my friend, then... You would have.
So we're going with the iPhone argument if I'm holding it wrong, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys.
Those characters in 13
suck.
They're
horrible.
Okay, maybe Hope. Get rid of Hope.
No, Vanilla, terrible.
Get rid of Vanilla.
You have Annoying Boy. You have Innocent Dumb Girl. You have Cloud. Okay. You got Cloud.
But Lightning is such a good character.
Let's not talk about the characters. Let's talk about how it's just like a fucking linear path through every single map. You don't have any control over anything.
You didn't have any control in Final Fantasy X.
They didn't even give you a fucking massage minigame in 13.
Right.
At least you had that in the first 20 minutes of 10-2. At least you had something to do, is what I'm saying.
All right.
Come on. Boy.
I think Lightning's cool.
Don't think
it's Cloud. Lightning is Cloud.
Lightning, when it connects from the cloud to the earth, the con.
Lightning?
All right. I don't want to argue.
Okay.
Moving on. I downloaded, this is kind of weird. I downloaded, what is it? House of Wolves Destiny DLC.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying.
Oh, you started playing Destiny. Did you cover the last podcast? Did I miss that?
No, we didn't talk about it. But yeah, so I started playing Destiny. Downloaded the DLC. It's cool. I don't know.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's Destiny sucks to me. To be honest with you, it wasn't what I wanted. It like the beta and the alpha or whatever came before. I was like, oh, this is it. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to discover worlds. I want to go to places. I want to make things my own. I want to meet people. And that's not what
I did a bunch of lying to myself when I played Destiny. And then eventually I couldn't do it anymore. And I just
not what I want at all.
Speaking of things that are like massively multiplayer, what do you guys think of the Elder Scrolls MMO coming out pretty soon on PS4?
Glad it's free to play.
It already came out, right?
No.
See?
It came out on PC. The PS4 version's coming out like a week or two.
Well, it's like the same thing, though, right? It's just
coming out for PS4. Yeah.
It's cool. I want to play it. I'm not going
to
play it.
Yeah, I'm not going to play it. I mean, free to play MMOs? Come on.
Well, I was thinking, I looked at it. And I thought, well, it is free to play now, so it might be cool. They're charging you $60 for the game, which is okay because it's free to play. But I'm so scared that Bethesda is going to turn this into some pay to win crap after you buy it.
Is it really free to play if you have to pay for it?
No, you don't. Well, yeah, that's true. Well,
okay, you had to pay for Guild Wars, didn't
they
you?
They went to it. They had a pay model before. Oh, yeah. They had like $15 a month.
Yeah, it was actually on a subscription MMO to start with.
I guess you have to pay for Guild Wars as well. But I wouldn't really consider Guild Wars the same thing.
Actually, you have to pay for Final Fantasy 14
Which
as well.
Is why I don't play it. If you didn't have to pay to play it, I would play that.
Well, Final Fantasy 14 doesn't need you, Steve, because it's one of the biggest MMOs out there, well, so that's okay.
Well, that's fine. It can be one. They need to take that and make that into a single-player game instead of that crappy shit that they're going to put out for 15. But we're not going to go there.
Whatever. I mean, MMOs in general are really disinteresting to me. So, I wanted to like Skyrim a lot, and I ended up not liking it because I didn't think they wrote the quests as interesting as they did Oblivion. So,
yeah, I heard that Skyrim Online is nothing like.
I'd have to totally agree with Arthur on that. I thought Oblivion was a much more interesting game.
Boom. Yeah, so I can't imagine that Elder Scrolls Online is going to be much better, you know? Like, that's the beat.
But I thought that about Fallout, too. A lot of people like New Vegas, but I tell you what, I like Fallout 3 a lot better than New Vegas.
I probably feel the same way, but with that, though, that was a different team, though. Like, that's not even Bethesda.
I think what got me out with New Vegas is the factions. No matter how you play this game, you've always got some jackass that's 300 times more powerful than you, chasing you down.
Right. And the thing that killed me with New Vegas is that the problem with Fallout in general is that at a certain point, like, your guns don't do any damage anymore. And then, you're shooting, 10,000 bullets into some dude's head and he still doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
I just feel like you got to that point faster in New Vegas, so I just stopped playing.
Yeah. I mean, if you shoot somebody with a fat boy, a nuke, and they're looking at you, and it's just a guy, you start to be like...
it's just a guy.
It's one of those what-the-fuck moments.
Right. I mean, I never even finished that game, because it's just like, I can't even kill anybody anymore, so it's like, fucking armor?
I finished the main game, but I did not play any of the DLC.
Right.
So, I've been playing Destiny.
Yeah, so...
yes, Destiny!
Sorry, Azario.
It's cool to hang out with your friends. If you're playing Destiny and you're playing with friends and you just want to run around and shoot things, it's cool. The story makes no sense.
If you want to hang out with friends and play video games, let me recommend to you Dota.
Oh, no. No.
Hey, we can play co-op on Saints Row.
I think we can all agree that... what is it? MOBAs are the worst.
No.
Oh, God, I hate MOBAs.
I don't really like MOBAs, but there is definitely a market for them. And Arthur is the market.
Yeah.
Because of what he just said 5 minutes ago. He wants to jump in something, play a couple death matches.
Yeah, I think that's the first time Arthur bummed me out in a while.
I mean, well, that's, you know.
So, with that said, we're going to take a break and then do some news and close out the show. Thanks. Welcome back. We're going to tackle a couple news articles that we found interesting, and then we'll get Benny to sleep because he...
I have work in a few hours.
He has work in a few hours, and Benny needs to go 9-9.
Sleep's the cousin of death, Benny.
You know you sleep for like half of your life, Benny?
Two-thirds.
Sleep less than that.
One-third, I mean. Sorry. Hold on, I need to look up what Santorum's slogan is before we get too close to the end of the show.
Yeah, dude, I just want to talk about Bernie Sanders, though.
I got Sanders already in a previous.
He's the man, for sure. But we're not here to talk about politics. We're here to talk about Sword Art getting a new translation. That's interesting.
Yes, very interesting.
Cool. But more than that, Steve, Hollow Fragments and Lost Songs are coming to PS4.
Yes, both are coming to PS4.
That's really cool.
It is really cool. The Hollow Fragments going to be digital only, but Lost Song will have a physical release. So that's
cool. Have they announced anything with the online play of Hollow Fragments? Ad hoc on the Vita.
They have not. I'm hoping that they do add like real online to it where they're putting it on the PS4. That'd be nice.
That'd be cool.
Now, Lost Song does have online multiplayer.
Yeah, it does.
It already has that. So they could tack it in there very easily. I'm really happy they're doing a new translation because Hollow Fragments is a really, really fantastic game. It's fantastic. I love it. But the translation actually makes it hard to understand how some of the subsystems work in the game. Aside from Kirito penetrating everything. But
he likes to penetrate things.
Well, who wouldn't want to penetrate?
Don't we all?
Who wouldn't want to penetrate Asuna? That's all I'm saying. But anyways,
God damn it.
Aside from that, I'm really happy that they are going to take the time to give it a proper localization, because you could almost tell that they ran some of that shit through Google Translate. I mean, it's just kind of obvious. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of glad that they're doing that. I'm pretty excited for both of those, actually. I'm really, really stoked.
Yeah, me too. I'll definitely be getting both. Benny, will you be picking up Sword Art? Because we can make a party right now, guys.
Yeah.
With the PS4 releases, I probably will, especially because after the classes end this semester, I'll have actually some free time because I won't be as busy in the fall. So I'd be more than willing to join up and see what this game is all about, because I haven't played Hollow Fragment on the Vita yet.
Will you play if Arthur's there?
Sure.
I'll be there day one. What's this game?
Sword Art Online.
I'm trying to Google it, and all I'm finding is
the anime?
Looks like like anime. And even though it's like,
that's what it is. The anime is basically the game.
But I'm looking for the game. I look up Sword Art Online, and you would think online would imply like an online game, and it says the anime is a Japanese light novel series. So that's not even helpful.
We love Japan.
Hollow Fragments is what you need to look
at. Hollow Fragments.
But yeah, this is good news. If you want, PlayAsia is still selling the physical copies of Hollow Fragments, if that's what you want. Though, you will need a Japanese PSN to get DLC for that game.
Hong Kong.
Uh-oh.
Asian what? Region.
Hong Kong.
Oh, Hong Kong. Yeah.
Good thing about setting up a Hong Kong account, for those that don't know, it is in full English when you set one up, so it's really easy to set it up.
Yeah.
It's the true China.
Yeah. It's really easy to set up. I just set one up because I actually, before they announced this, I had already ordered an import copy of Lost Song for my Vita, so
I'll get that bathing suit DLC.
Yeah, I'll probably do a preview of that for the site. I don't think I'm going to play the full game and review it, because I'm going to try to review the PS4 version, but I'll probably play some of it and put some stuff up on the side on how it plays and stuff.
Yeah. I'm excited. So fans of Sword Art, you'll be able to play this game on your PS4. Thanks, Bamco.
Yes.
Hong Kong's like the China that's like the real China, but then like they're the non-communist China, right?
I guess.
But where should I ask global politics? I know, the Op Rainfall podcast.
Right.
hurry, ask us about Ecchi.
Yeah.
We can have a discussion about that, okay?
You want an H game recommendation?
Yeah. We can talk about manga. Also, you guys might be excited. If I don't know, Benny, if you watch this, but the Zombie Blanc game for Hyperdimension, whatever it's going to be, what's it called? The zombie one?
It's called Tag Blanc and Neptune versus the Zombie Army.
Yeah, did you watch the trailer?
Yes.
Did you happen to watch
it? Yes. It very much looks like Neptune U.
It does.
With co-op.
And schoolgirls.
And my waifu looks great in that. So that's about right.
All the gang is back. Yes. They're all looking good.
Yes.
There is multiplayer, which is pretty cool.
I really like Neptune U. It's simple. It's easy to pick up and play. It's fun.
Yeah, that would actually be also a cool multiplayer game. But this is cool. Hang out with your friends, and it was probably easy for them because they just used the NepU engine and just added multiplayer to it, and there you go. There's your next Hyperdimension of Tunia game.
What's hilarious is the story. Apparently, they're at a school that was closing down because it didn't have enough enough attendees. So the girls decided to make a zombie movie, because what would bring people to a school better than filming a zombie flick there? And apparently some real zombies showed up instead, and now the girls are going to have to take care of the zombie problem.
That's good.
Only in someone has game. To.
Someone needs to, but if not them.
I really want to see more about the Sega Hard Girls one crossover.
I do too. I'm really curious about what they're going to do with that.
That's going to be cool.
That'll be awesome. I mean, that little anime they did was awesome, which this is going to be based more off of the comic strip than the anime, but that's going to be awesome.
Well, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, did you want to say something before I end the show?
Yes. The place I was referring to was Taiwan, which is Republic of China.
There you go.
The more you know.
I don't know what I would have did.
In case you were wondering, there was a Chinese Civil War in the early 20s, and that was continued into the 40s. Mm-hmm. And then there was a ceasefire. So there's technically two Chinas, one of which is recognized by most of the world and one that is not. And one is a communist state, which is what we know as China, and the other is Taiwan, which is an island, which is more of a democratic country.
That's what I was thinking.
If it didn't happen in Dynasty Warriors, our listeners don't care.
Yeah.
Is that Dynasty Warriors canon, or what do we?
I think it's a little outside what Dynasty Warriors covers.
Damn it!
Unfortunately, we must have missed it because we're stuck in the Tang Dynasty. Yeah,
I think what Dynasty is even covered in Dynasty Warriors?
I haven't played one since like 2.
I have. Wait, hold on. Is that all the fucking dynasties that are fighting are not even the ones that win, because the fucking Sima Yi people fucking win at the end of all of it.
Sima Yi's faction takes over in the end, and it basically, because Wei ends up winning up to a point, and then Sima Yi's group takes over from there.
Right. And then it's like the Yi Dynasty, which is the one that everybody remembers, but they're not as, like, romantic, which is why nobody wrote any fucking stories about them.
Right, because if it's not romance in the Three Kingdoms, it's shit.
Yeah.
They understood.
Nobody wrote fucking romance of the Yi Dynasty.
Nope. Not until at least we get to the Sengoku era in Japan, and then everything starts anew.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I've never played one of those games, one of those Samurai Warriors games, or the Capcom version.
They're fun hack and slash games. If you like NIPU, you might want to give it a shot one of these days.
Well, I like Dynasty Warriors, so I probably like it.
Personally,
yeah.
I was more of a fan of the Gundam games. That's not true. Nobody actually has that opinion.
I happen to own 1-3. I just don't have Rebirth yet.
Of the Gundam games?
Yes.
I have the Super Nintendo one. That's about it.
If I knew anything about Gundam, I might have enjoyed them, but being as I knew absolutely nothing about Gundam, I was like,
I just have the Tournament Fighter on Super Nintendo.
I'm not talking about
guys.
What?
We got it.
The Jin Dynasty is what took over eventually. That's what.
Damn it.
Thank you for listening to episode 35 of the Total Control Podcast. We ask you to continue going to the site, reading articles. I'm sure Jacob has posted some good articles on the site. Be sure to check those out. You can follow Total Control at Total Control. You can follow me at, as Arya says, Arthur Augustine. Benny at
T Burning Hunter.
I want to always say TB Hunter, like you're hunting for TB.
TB. I don't think I want to die.
Well, it's capital TB. You'll see if you look for.
Go to the site. Go to the staff page thingy and look for
it. Yeah. It'll be there. And then Steve Baltimore at Steve Baltimore, and you can follow Op Rainfall at Op Rainfall. Anything else, Arthur? You got something for us?
I just want to say Take Back America, Rick Santorum 2016. And I also want to say the number one response to his tweet that he's announcing his presidency is someone saying, at Rick Santorum, go fuck yourself.
Woo! America!
America! Right. Fuck yeah!
Thank you.